We gather tonight to solemnly pray on one of the most sacred nights of the year. Holy Thursday is an account of the Last Supper, the institution of the Eucharist, the institution of the priesthood, the washing of the feet, Christ's agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, and finally his arrest. John's account tonight focuses on the washing of the feet while he discusses the institution of the Eucharist back in chapter 6, as he tells us, "For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him." Jesus gave his body and blood under the species of bread and wine, offering it up to the Father and giving it to the apostles so they may partake of it in the Last Supper. Then he commanded them and their successors through the institution of the priesthood to continue and perpetrate this offering always. As described in our first reading, Jesus is the Paschal Lamb who came to take away the sins of the world and offer himself to us in the Eucharist. Bishop Barron states, "Through the real presence of the Eucharist, the whole of one's life is transformed in body, soul, mind, and spirit. The baptized person's life is no longer their own, but belongs to God. As St. Paul relates to us in Galatians, it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ that lives in me. The transubstantiation of the bread and wine to the body and blood of Christ unites us with Jesus, and each of us who've prepared and reconciled to receive him with our amen at communion, our confirmation to live our lives devoted to Christ as he calls us with encouragement, grace, and with unity, to love God first and then our neighbors as ourselves. A great book that I often handed out at retreats is entitled Can You Drink the Cup by Henry Nouwen. The title was inspired by Jesus cautioning Zebedee's sons about the cup and consuming it with all it entails for the faithful. The blood of Christ, but also the dregs that may be found in the bottom of the cup, symbolic of what human life offers us each day. Our call to honor him through the ups and downs we experience in daily life, in happiness and peace, but also sharing in the suffering, death, and resurrection of the Lord, along with the lives of the faithful. Remember our responsorial psalm today from St. Paul. Our blessing cup is a communion with the blood of Christ. It's the profound love and the gift of Christ that forges our actions in service to him and to those here around us. It's also part of our baptismal calling of love, service, and unity, as we're now a part of Christ and Christ is in us. We are with Christ in the lowest point of human agony in the garden, his suffering, his crucifixion, as well as with him in jubilation at his resurrection. In addressing John's gospel and the washing of the feet, it takes me back when Connie and I traveled to Old Jerusalem in the upper room a few months before my ordination. One can only imagine early lightheartedness of the evening, laughing and sharing with one another until Jesus teaches them about the Eucharist, how he will be betrayed, and as the meal ends, stands up to wash their feet. I can envision him taking off and laying down his outer garments as a symbol of him soon to be laying down his life for us. Jesus, the suffering servant, takes on the task of washing feet on bended knee, something only reserved for domestic servants, a sign of deep humility as he came to serve and not be served. The washing of the feet, which we'll be doing this evening, is not meant as a scriptural reenactment, but a gesture expressing our commitment to serve one another each day in love and humility. It's a symbol of tenderness and trust. The exuberant Peter first denies having his feet washed, then, of course, asks for his whole body to be washed. As Jesus reminds him, the apostles are already clean, except for one. In the end, Jesus asked them, "Do you realize what I have done for you? I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet. You ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow. So what I have done for you, you should also do." Jesus, knowing everything that was going to happen, knew his death and resurrection was imminent. He loved his disciples, as John exclaims, "He loved his own in the world and loved them to the end." Interestingly enough, Judas failed to realize and respond to Christ's love through the washing of his feet, as Jesus knowingly cared for the man who would betray him. Both the Eucharist and the washing of the feet, each in their own way, represents God's limitless love, humility, service, and example for all of us to follow. Jesus left specific directions for the apostles then and lessons for us today. "I've given you a model to follow so that what I have done, you should also do." We're all called to respond to God's teachings in different ways. How will you respond? How can you best serve those around you? As the apostles depart from Jesus from the upper room, they cross the Kidron Valley to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, adjacent now to the Basilica of Agony. The ceiling painted behind the tabernacle there displays Jesus praying intently on a large flat stone with olive trees on either side and an angel above his head. Peter, James, and John are depicted sleeping under an olive tree. Another painting nearby is of Jesus' subsequent arrest. This holy night, may we be mindful in our amen to Jesus in the Eucharist. Experience our feet washed in humility, giving us love and grace to continue the mission appointed to us by Christ as we are called to serve and not be served. Amen.